Anyone practice in Miami because this is a sprint weekend. So it was a chaotic session, really. 1 hour, pretty hot, pretty humid, quite a lot of crosswind. And very early on, Charles Leclerc, about whom we spoke in the live stream, who needed to go to Miami without any drama at all after what happened last year, spun on only his second flying lap. And he spun at an innocuous corner as well. This wasn't the high-speed S's as we saw in previous years. This was coming out of turn 16, the very tight left-hander. He did well, actually, to keep his Ferrari between the guardrail, didn't actually damage it, but got stuck in the middle of the road. Talk about inelegant, stuck in the middle of the road, couldn't get reverse gear. And that was his 1 hour session gone. A disaster for Charles, more than for Ferrari, because Carlos Sainz again did a very, very good job for Ferrari on the light fuel runs early on. He was quickest on the hard tire, wasn't quickest on the soft tire right at the end, but he was out there doing a few long runs as well, putting in the homework and really doing all the donkey work for Ferrari, with Charles sitting in the pits doing nothing. Got to say right away and get it out of the way for the weekend, Ferrari deciding to go with quite a lot of blue on the car, I guess partly to celebrate the arrival of HP as a major sponsor, but also because Miami blue, etc., etc. And I think they've just gone overboard with it. It would have been perfect had they just got the blue wheels, which they've got, which look great, which is a nice touch with heritage as well. But all the other dabs of blue all over the car, particularly on the halo and other parts, looks very messy, I think. So it's a bit of a shame, a bit of a lost opportunity there, a bit over the top, which is unusual for Ferrari because normally their styling is pretty good for in the Formula One context. Just go back to plain blue wheels. That's all we need. Thank you very much. Anyway, moving on. Very, very good session as predicted for Red Bull. Like everybody, they found it really difficult. These are the medium range of Pirelli tires. Very slippery track at Miami right at the beginning of the weekend, particularly. And Red Bull, like everybody, finding the car very difficult. Max describing the Pirellis as having to drive on eggshells. Mind you, he was the only driver out there, possible exception of the Mercedes drivers, really running a lot of fuel in this 1 hour session. He's the only driver really in a position to say what those Pirellis are like in full fuel race mode. And if they're on eggshells for Red Bull, they're going to be on eggshells for everybody else, that is for sure. But I don't think any of the other teams have really got to that fuel load yet to be able to make that sort of observation. So Max and Sergio Perez did a very good job in this first session with Red Bull, finding the circuit very difficult, but then everybody else did. And because they've got that large sweet spot about which I keep speaking, that they've got more room to maneuver in terms of setup and getting the car right, they made more use of that 1 hour session. Max did one run effectively. There's a bit of traffic early on medium tires with light fuel. And then when Charles Leclerc had his spin and the track was red flag for about 12 minutes, they took the opportunity to fill his car up with fuel, and Sergio Perez for that matter, fill his car up with fuel and do the long runs. Nobody else was doing that. Fernando Alonso didn't get out on soft tires at the end for the soft tire run that everybody inevitably was going to do at the end of this session in the build up to sprint qualifying. Fernando didn't even get out because he was late. He was kind of late throughout the session and he wanted to get in his fuel runs as well. And it just shows how out of sync just in 1 hour two teams can be. And Aston Martin pretty much on the case. And I think more than anything, it highlights how organized Red Bull are. Even in this post Adrian Newey's going to leave the team era, still look very, very sharp. Max complaining about crosswind. He did have a big moment, a sort of Charles Leclerc type 2023 moment going through the high speed S's. But he came out of the lap, obviously, and backed away. But it was a crosswind moment. So it does affect Red Bull as much as it affects everybody else. Anyway, that was the basic picture. Let's have a look at some of the detail of what happened. These were the quickest times from the session, fairly representative as we were going to go into sprint qualifying to see where all the teams lined up and who got it more or less right with setup and who didn't. And every time on soft tires there, except Yuki Tsunoda, who was on the medium tire. Really, really good job by Yuki to be as quick as that. Probably shows how much margin there is really at Red Bull at the front end, but nonetheless very good. And then I've got the top speeds as well. Those are not the top speeds as listed in the speed trap. Those are the top speeds they were actually doing on the lap on which they did their fastest lap. So they're more relevant, I think, and that will give them a better idea of where all the teams are in terms of how much downforce they're running, how quick they are on the straight, and what the lap time was. So Max quickest 28.5, 3.39. So we should remember that 339. If you look at Oscar Piastri, 336, 28.7, right at the end of this free practice session. Very good lap. Lando Norris at that point was in the pits, so no comparison there in terms of what he could do. But Oscar looked really good throughout the session. He hasn't got all the upgrades that Lando's got. Lando's got quite a lot of upgrades. Indeed, Mercedes got a lot of upgrades here as well. And Oscar not running all of those, perhaps that gave him a freer run. I mean, Lando lost a little bit of time early on with the weighting of the power steering and was very quick in the middle of the session when he did that time on hard tyres. And very quick in a straight line, although I suspect that represents some sort of toe and isn't realistic in terms of the McLaren's actual speed through the air. For that, I think you look at the Piastri time. Carlos Sainz, 28.7336. So you can see there, 3 kilometres an hour slower. And I mentioned that one because presumably Ferrari are going to be one of the teams, if Red Bull aren't going to win, that are going to be in reasonable shape to do it. So 3 kilometres an hour on a light fuel load with Max probably not getting the best from the car on that lap, got to say. It was just one lap. He had traffic. He had a moment. He had 2 laps of traffic. He had a moment. So by the time he did that time, the tyres were pretty worn and pretty hot anyway. 3 kilometres is quite a lot if you look at the lengths of the straight. So we shouldn't just say, oh, it's only 3 kilometres. It's 3 kilometres for a long time at terminal velocity here in Miami. George Russell, same top speed as Ferrari. Mercedes looking very good in terms of their upgrades and in terms of coming to the circuit with a reasonable setup. They must be pretty satisfied with the way things went in that 1 hour session. George Russell, 28.7, same time as McLaren and Ferrari, you could say. These upgrades have taken maybe Mercedes up into that sort of territory on this sort of circuit anyway. And the top speed looks pretty reasonable as well. Lance Stroll putting in that quick lap while Fernando was doing the long runs. Quite good use of the two drivers there. The confidence they have in Stroll to be able to get out and do a quick time. It's probably the sort of confidence boost he needs at this stage of his career. Whereas Fernando, as I say, focusing on the longer runs. Good time by Lance Stroll, 28.8, 3.39. And quick on the straight, the Aston Martin. Right, evidence at the moment, not far away from Red Bull or thereabouts with Red Bull. You can see there Sergio Perez, 3.40. So it does show how much margin Red Bull do have. That's very quick in the straight for Sergio Perez. Lewis Hamilton, 3.34 by contrast. If you look at that difference, 6 kilometres an hour between Perez and Lewis Hamilton. Again, you've got to take into account that this is only free practice and maybe there was some traffic, maybe a bit of a toe involved, but that doesn't look that good for Mercedes if you look at the Lewis Hamilton times. Yuki Tsunoda, as I say, on the medium tyre, very good job, 29. But again, that kind of puts everything into perspective, really, in terms of how quick this track is going to get as it picks up grip on the soft tyre, 3.35. We've seen before that the cash app is pretty quick in a straight line. This is the, I think, one of the big stories so far in terms of the first session is that Alpine seem to have got the setup in terms of guesstimation not far away from their optimum. You can see Ocon and Gasly there pretty good in terms of lap time, not bad in terms of top speed. Looks like they're suffering a little bit in terms of top speed, but to be midfield, very unusual for Alpine. So got to say they seem to have got it right. Daniel Ricciardo a shade away from Yuki Tsunoda. The two Haas Ferraris, again, very good and reasonably quick in a straight line as well, as they've always been. Not as quick as the Williams, but there or thereabouts. And Lando Norris, as I say, didn't get out at the end to do a quick time, and nor did Fernando Alonso. So let's have a look at what they were doing on the long runs, how they compare. And not everybody was out there doing that, of course, because they were working away at trying to get the car sorted out for the one lap performance run going into sprint qualifying. But Max, you can see the homework that Max did compared with everybody else. And a lot of people didn't do any long runs at all with fuel in the car. So it just shows how on top of the game they are. And you know, if Max does turn out to be the winner of this Miami Grand Prix through sprint and then into the Grand Prix itself, a lot of it will be based on how much work he did in this 1 hour session and just got in one quick lap early on, got the setup more or less right, and then went out and did that fuel run. And 32.9, 32.8, 32.7, 32.6, pretty consistent. And I've got at the bottom there in brackets the sort of average top speed they were doing on these fuel runs. There were a few anomalies which would have been toes in DRS, but taking those out of the picture, this gives a more accurate reflection, I think, of where they are in top speed, which will be very important in the race. Although there are, there are 3 DRS zones in Miami, so there'll be a lot of DRS racing over the weekend, that is for sure. But anyway, 3.13 for Max when he was doing that run. Sergio Perez slightly quicker, which is what we often see these days. and slightly slower on average with fuel in the car, but very good homework there for the Red Bull engineers to be dissecting going into sprint qualifying. Now, let's have a look at Mercedes, because they did look good, and George Russell was out there doing what appeared to be long runs as well. And if you look at, he did one super quick time through the speed trap, which I've taken out of there, and I'm assuming that he did a few 306s. I'm assuming that's his real top speed. So there's the difference between Mercedes and Red Bull, top speed, quite clearly, when you've got fuel in the car. In terms of the lap, not bad at all. You're looking at 32.1, 32.0 for George Russell. That's very quick compared with the Red Bulls. But look at the top speed difference. And in the race, of course, that's going to be significant. And it does mean that going into sprint qualifying, even let alone into the Grand Prix proper, and they're not going to Parc Fermé for the Grand Prix here. They're going to Parc Fermé for qualifying for the sprint race. So they can still make adjustments. If Red Bull, then you've got to take a little bit of wing out of that car, and you can see what's going to happen. They're not going to lose any downforce on that lap, that's for sure. So George Russell showing that Mercedes, yeah, they're quick on the lap. And Lewis Hamilton, again, 304, slightly slower than George in a straight line, but a big difference in top speed when you put fuel in the car. And in terms of his full tank runs, Lewis would be pretty happy with that. 32.0 as well, matching George's best. So that's good for him. And then Fernando Alonso was out on hard tyres doing his long run. They gave him the option to come in towards the end. You know, if you're going to come in and do a soft tyre run at the end, Fernando, no, I stay out here, which is good. Shows he's confident in the setup, confident that he can go into sprint qualifying and get a quick lap out of the car. And look at that, on hard tyre, he's doing 32.2. That's not bad, is it? And 315, significantly quicker in a straight line than the Mercedes. And actually, you could say quicker than the Red Bulls. Although I suspect, as I say, you're going to see a lot more top speed coming out of the Red Bulls going into qualifying. So there we are. That was free practice, but no one on the end of it, because it's the only one we'll have this weekend going into sprint qualifying, and then the sprint race, and then Grand Prix qualifying on Saturday. The Miami circuit looking pretty good in terms of all the stuff around there and the atmosphere. All the teams making a big effort to try and catch the flavor of this Miami Grand Prix, a very important race for Formula One. And it'll be interesting to see how Charles goes into the rest of the weekend. Now, he's definitely behind the music, but he's quite capable of getting in that car and putting in a lap time, of course, going into sprint qualifying. And a lot of that will be due to the hard work put in by Carlos Sainz, the driver that Ferrari have decided is no longer good enough to stay there, and they're going to get rid of him at the end of the year. I mean, that is just, well, it's tragic, really, isn't it? Anyway, that was the free practice this morning. Let's see what happens going into sprint qualifying. We'll have a second video out tonight to talk about that. Blink and you almost miss Formula One sprint qualifying. It's pretty dramatic. Two sessions on medium tyres, Q1, Q2, just enough time in both to run two sets of tyres. And then Q3 on soft tyres and only time for one run. Completely different game, of course, when they go onto soft tyres. Characteristics change. It's not only just higher grip level, it's how you heat up the tyres on the outlap and all the other things that come into play. And that's what we saw today. McLaren, brilliant in Q1 and Q2. 1-2 at Q1, and Lando Norris, unbelievably quick in Q2 on medium tyres, but then fell away. Both of them fell away in Q3. Actually, Oscar Piastri was the quicker of the two McLaren drivers. Lando having a big moment with a lack of grip on the soft tyres, recovering reasonably well. But the sad and frustrating fact for Lando Norris is that the 27.597 lap that he did in Q2 on medium tyres would have put him on the pole had he been able to reproduce that on the soft tyres in Q3. As it was, all he did was a 28.4 with a big moment, qualified ninth. For his part, Max Verstappen only fourth quickest in both Q1 and Q2, which gives you an insight into the way Red Bull just look ahead at what really matters and the planning that goes into the way they operate the car. And in Q2, indeed, Max only did one run. He just stayed in the garage while the others were out doing the first of their two runs and just put in one run just to save a set of medium tyres, put in a quick enough lap to go P4. And then it was the sprint, the real blast in Q3 on soft tyres, everybody out together, and Max put in a perfect, sublime lap, as he always does. Really, really good to watch, and takes the pole. It was close, though. Charles Leclerc recovered beautifully from that ridiculous spin he had in untimed practice this morning. A lot of credit to Carlos Sainz for the amount of work he did and the setup work they had on that car and how good it was. But no surprise at the beginning of Q1, when normally you see cars like the Williams and the Haas and so forth out there, it was Charles Leclerc who was the first of the 20 cars out for Q1, because he hadn't done any laps. He'd done one flying lap in that untimed time session. And he almost lost it on his first flying lap. I couldn't believe it. It was where he went off in 2023. And he goes into turn seven and the car was very light. He just got up on the curb and kept it and had to come right off the power. He then did a couple of slow laps. And to his credit, he then put his head down, got comfortably into Q2, did the job in Q2, actually went quicker than Carlos. And then in Q3, under pressure, on the red soft tire from Pirelli, just behind Max Verstappen. Top speed of the Ferrari, 3.36 on that lap. Max Verstappen on his lap, 3.37. So very close. They line up on the front row of the grid. Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, business as normal, you could say. And very, very little between them, it would seem, in terms of top speed. That may change when they modify the cars after the sprint race tomorrow before qualifying for the Grand Prix. But going in, looks pretty close. Although, of course, you've got to say Red Bull do have that very large sweet spot in which they can operate in terms of the amount of downforce they can run. They run just enough just to stay competitive on the straight, a little bit quicker than everybody else on the straight, annoyingly so. But because they're leading the race most of the time with Max and he doesn't have the benefit of DRS, they have to take that as the gold standard of where they're going to be in speed and in terms of how much downforce they can run. And then Max just gets the best of the car with that downforce level. Really, really impressive to watch. Of course, Ferrari will have DRS if they fall into P2 with Charles Leclerc. And then it'll be an interesting race because it's they're two really long straights in Miami. So yeah, sprint race. We'll see how it goes. Tire management will probably come into it. It was more about getting the tire temperatures right at the beginning of Q3 on the outlaps. And it was amazing to see McLaren and how well they did with that tire temperature build up in Q1 and 2 on the medium tire, but how they fell away in Q3 when it came to the soft tire. Lando for sure had problems with that, and Oscar Piastri out-qualified Lando in Q3, and also interestingly Lance Stroll out-qualified Fernando Alonso in Q3 as well. So both Aston Martin Mercedes and both McLaren Mercedes into Q3. McLaren not brilliant, but Aston Martin doing a solid job. Lance Stroll looking pretty good, but neither factory Mercedes made it through into Q3. Lewis Hamilton even hitting the wall. Not enough to damage the car, but enough to unsettle him and the car and the team, of course. So another very, very difficult day for Mercedes because they look quite good in the untimed session this morning. They got upgrades on the car. George Russell was always there. Lewis Hamilton was very close to him on full tanks. Well, on a fuel load, they look pretty good. Looking back now, they probably weren't running the same heavy fuel level that Red Bull were running. But the top speed even then was not good with heavy fuel in the car. So, yeah, a difficult weekend ahead of Mercedes. I suppose the only saving grace you can say is that there is an opportunity to change the setup again before Grand Prix qualifying. But then that does apply to everyone as well. A rather disappointing end to Q3 for Carlos Sainz. But the other big talking point, the other great result, I think, was Daniel Ricciardo qualifying P4 for Visa Cash App. This is the first time we've really seen Daniel looking like Daniel Ricciardo. He looked really good. Even touched the wall, but he touched the wall really nicely in Q2. Just brushed it front and rear wheels, just brushed it broadside, kept going, no real problem at all. And right there on the soft tyre in Q3. So congratulations to Daniel. There have been some difficult moments, but it started to turn around, it looked like, in China when Yuki Tsunoda had a very difficult weekend. Speaking of Yuki, he was very good this morning, and it looked like he was back where he'd been since the start of the year. But then in Q2, possibly as a function of that bad weekend in China and really wanting to make up for it and have a great result here in Miami, he was just overdriving and the back end got away from him and he lost a good 2 to 3 tenths trying to correct that in the slow part of the circuit. So, yeah, you could say a classic Yuki mistake. He's been looking very good overall in terms of bringing a car home in the points, in races. I guess qualifying is still a bit of an issue for him, certainly right now with Daniel Ricciardo doing the job he is. Let's hope that Daniel has a trouble-free race for a change. He does seem to be, engender other dramas going on around him, a bit like Valtteri Bottas, who had a big moment today when he didn't know that Oscar Piastri was closing on him very quickly going into turn one and just came into his apex and they touched and they both got away with it, no problem at all. But that was for sure, the stewards are going to be looking at that one. And that was just a clear example of the mirrors on a Formula One car at the moment are nothing like good enough. And in this occasion, obviously Valtteri didn't get the message in time from the pit wall. I guess with GPS being as impressive as it is and useful as it is, the drivers tend to rely more on radio messages about traffic behind them or quickly approaching cars than they ever have before. But that, of course, means that they're not looking in the mirrors as much. And that's something that needs to be looked into for sure. And so we go into the sprint tomorrow with Max and Charles on the front row. Max on the pole, very close in top speed. And behind them, Sergio Perez, Daniel Ricciardo, and then Carlos Sainz in the other Ferrari alongside Oscar Piastri in the first of the two McLaren Mercedes. Should be good fun, and then they'll be qualifying for the Grand Prix. A big thanks to Jetcraft, Pitbox, and OEM Exclusive. Take care. See you tomorrow. A neat and tidy sprint race win for Max Verstappen in the Red Bull RB20. Yet another win. Absolutely superb. First corner was interesting. Max was on a used set of mediums. Alongside him, Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari on a new set of mediums. And Charles definitely had the grip off the line, even though he's on the dirty side of the grid. They were alongside one another going into the first corner. Max just ahead, but it was not easy. And it was down to who was going to get the braking as late as possible. And Max did it on those scrub mediums. It was a little bit iffy. He ran a little bit wide, but it was lovely to see him mid-corner just let the steering go and ran the car a little bit wider, let it go, let it breathe. And then he was just ahead of Charles. And that's all he needed for the rest of the lap. He could pull away then. And of course, he always had that inbuilt top speed advantage as well. So Max drove that race beautifully. It wasn't easy. It's not easy for anybody out there on these medium range compound Pirellis on which they're starting. The medium tyre yesterday in qualifying for the sprint race was, of course, the tyre that Mercedes couldn't get their head around. Although I was a little bit confused by George Russell's comment after sprint qualifying when he said, you know, we were waiting for the soft tyre, we would have been really good on the soft. But he was very impressive, as we saw in my first video, when they were running a reasonable fuel load in the Mercedes on that medium tyre. So they did quite a lot of running on the medium tyre. So I'm confused as to why they felt they didn't have the setup or the data or anything they needed to get that medium tyre to work, because they did the bulk of the running on that medium and more laps than most with fuel in the car. Anyway, that was Friday. Today, Mercedes had a dreadful day. We'll get onto that in a minute. Max Verstappen, not to detract from him, led from start to finish. Charles Leclerc, pretty near him, but as we saw in the speed traps on Friday, always the Red Bull was going to have a top speed advantage, and that's what won the race, in effect, for them against Ferrari. Of course, it's not just about top speed per se. It's about how quick you are in a straight line for the grip level you need also in order to be able, A, to look after the tyres, and B, be quick enough on the lap to win the race anyway. So yeah, a really good compromise job by Red Bull there. As predicted, on a circuit where there was only 1 hour to prepare, Red Bull got it absolutely right. Well, as near right as any of the teams could possibly have done. Charles Leclerc, a very good second. He'd be pleased with that after that error on the first or the second flying lap of practice yesterday, made up for it. Very good performance for him, P2. Sergio Perez finished a very good third for Red Bull, I thought. Very knife-edgy at the first corner. Like Max, he's on a used set of mediums. But unlike Max, he didn't keep it all on the island. He ran a little bit wide. I think just underlines the job, the quality of the job again that Max did into that first corner. And as a result of that, Perez lost P3 to Daniel Ricciardo in the Visa Cash App special. Wow. Who held third place for a couple of laps. Looked really good. And then Sergio, of course, drew nearer in the RB20 as he would. Big top speed advantage, and got him through DRS and a tow. But it was a good pass. He did it from a long way back. He got the braking absolutely right, just sharp and inside, and pulled away. After that, he was about a second a lap, three quarters of a second a lap slower than Max. He'd used his tyres more. So good job by him. And a great job, of course, by Daniel Ricciardo. Yes, he got passed by Perez in the Red Bull, but nobody else got passed Daniel Ricciardo. Carlos Sainz tried very hard in the other Ferrari, but even with DRS, he couldn't match the top speed of the Visa Cash App. And behind him, Oscar Piastri in the other McLaren Mercedes. More or less the same as Carlos, cancelling one another out with DRS, but doing a very good job to finish sixth. So Daniel Ricciardo, an elated fourth, building on that wonderful qualifying performance yesterday. Great to see him back where he should be, racing right at the front or near the front, showing that he has the talent, of course, as we all knew, to win Grand Prix again, and maybe even to be back at Red Bull, who knows. But this was possibly a game-changing race for Daniel Ricciardo. Particularly, dare I say it, that he beat the young Australian who replaced him at McLaren in 2023. Carlos Sainz fifth. He'll be a little bit disappointed with that, but I think that just highlights that the top speed of the Ferrari here isn't great. And then P6 for Oscar Piastri. So what happened to Lando Norris? Well, of course, he didn't qualify very well yesterday. Where did he qualify? In the middle of the first corner accident, basically. He actually didn't get involved in anything. There was a skirmish between the two Aston Martins. Kind of predictable when you got Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso alongside one another, and then Lewis Hamilton behind them. We'll get onto that in a minute. But there was contact at the first corner between those two Aston Aston Martins, and Lando was on the outside, and it just looked to me as if he just didn't give them enough room. He was very, very close to Stroll on the outside, and there was enough room for him to go a little bit wider and give everybody a wide berth and keep going. I don't know whether he's just not very used to being in first corner skirmishes these days, because he's usually been qualifying near the front, or what, but I was surprised that he didn't leave more room on the outside there. But anyway, he got nerfed, and then he was out of the race at the first corner. Sadly, an inevitable result almost in a sprint race if you are going to qualify in that part of the grid. Now, getting on to the Aston Martin shunt, 50-50, I would say. Fernando Alonso was on the inside. Lance Stroll was on his left, going down to the outside on the racing line. Lance unnecessarily turned in on the assumption there was nobody inside him. And of course, Fernando was there at that point. But having said that, Fernando had gone in a little bit too quick and lost the front, and he'd run wide. So that's why I say it was 50-50 between those two. And then down the inside, Lewis Hamilton charging in the Mercedes. Got the Ferrari drive next year. Might as well just go for it everywhere. Down the inside, Fernando immediately saying, "Ah, Lewis charging down like a bull down the inside." It looked a little bit of a convenient comment to make. Fernando was starting to move to the left, I guess to do something to try to make Stroll go around the outside him before he even knew what Lewis was planning to do. Anyway, Lewis was down the inside. It looked like by the end, Fernando was just making room for Lewis because he was going much too quickly. And sure enough, Lewis did run out of road and brake much too late into that first corner, given that he too was on used medium tyres. He just lost the front going in. So there were three cars involved in that, plus Lando Norris, as I say, was out straight away. Lance Stroll didn't continue. Fernando had a puncture. Lewis kept going and had a fraught race, is the only way to describe it. He got stuck behind Kevin Magnussen, who they were saying afterwards, "Oh, well, you know, great team performance by Kevin to let Nico get away and to hold up Lewis." Well, yeah, okay, fine. But what he was doing was just racing Lewis Hamilton. And he ended up getting, let me just go to count this now, 1, 2, 3, 4 penalties, basically for leaving the track and getting an advantage or doing something along those lines. 3 10-second penalties and a 5-second penalty. Kevin Magnussen, take a bow, I think. It's what sprint racing's all about, isn't it? It's what we want to see, is it not? That's like, you know, we can Porsche Super Cup race where nothing ever happens. They just go round and round and round. You think the whole point of a Porsche Super Cup race is to have something a little bit more dramatic than that. Anyway, Kevin Magnussen provided it all, and some very good passing and repassing and late braking. And Lewis Hamilton at some point on the radio, about a third of the way through the race, saying, "I'm so slow on the straight." Duh. As if we didn't know that from yesterday. I actually said yesterday, you know, the Haas 340, the Mercedes 330, 331 or something like that, it's going to be a major problem in the race. And I see afterwards Mercedes saying, "Oh, well, with the setup we were running, we knew we were going to be in trouble with top speed." Well, why run that setup? I mean, why not? If Mercedes don't have it right yet in terms of an efficiency package and having all the downforce they need for the top speed they need, in other words, live in Red Bull territory, why not do something a bit different and go for massive top speed in Miami with all these straights? Why not? You've got two great racing drivers, Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. If you take wing away so they haven't got that much downforce, yeah, they're going to have to massage the tyres a bit, but you give them a decent straight line speed advantage and they might be able to do something spectacular in the race. As it was, with DRS in the tow, Lewis Hamilton could do nothing about Kevin Magnussen. And in trying to get past Kevin, he got passed by Yuki Tsunoda, who's about the only of the top, only one of the top runners to go with soft tyres after a poor qualifying, and drove really well, did a really good pass on Lewis as well, which probably would have irritated Lewis. Although one part of me thinks, is Lewis really worried about any of this? Is he not just thinking of, well, I'm sorted for next year, I'm going to have fun if it works, if not, who cares? It was a little bit like that, I think, with Lewis today. It wasn't one of his greatest races, in my opinion. But having said that, you know, Mercedes looked terrible. George Russell had to back off at the first corner to avoid the Lando Norris Lance Stroll thing and lost a few positions. And he was just stuck in amongst the Saubers and really could do nothing either due to the lack of top speed again. I mean, I just find it extraordinary that Mercedes can be so slow in a straight line, and it stares them in the face even when they're out there on Friday, when there's time to make changes to the downforce. Why? Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what they do going into qualifying for the Grand Prix now, whether they'll try and give themselves some top speed, I say now, in the next couple of hours after this video. And we will be doing a second video about Grand Prix qualifying, so that will be out. So yeah, a really, really bad day, bad race for Mercedes. Not a good race for Aston Martin either, you could say. and an average to boring race for McLaren. Oscar Piastri did a pretty good job, but Lando out at the first corner. After all the promise that was being shown, don't forget these two guys were 1-2 in Q2 yesterday, SQ2 yesterday, and now they ended up with that rather paltry result. And to cap it all with Lewis, as he was going across the line in whatever it was going to be, eighth place, he then got a penalty for speeding in the pit lane in the outlaps before the race. So he was way out of the results as well. So just looking at them now, Nico Hülkenberg beat Lewis Hamilton on the road. Very, very good, secure and clear P7. Getting better and better all the time, Haas Ferrari. And Nico Hülkenberg now looking forward to his new career at Sauber and then with Audi. Driving beautifully. Didn't see much of him because he was just there on his own doing a great job. So Nico Hülkenberg, P7. Yuki Tsunoda drove well on those soft tyres. Went off right at the end. Lewis did pass him right at the end of the race. The softs had gone off, but it was inconsequential because Lewis, as we say, got that penalty. And Pierre Gasly drove well from near the back in the Alpine to get something for Alpine this year, do something good. So he looked all right, P9. And Logan Sargeant, big hand for Logan Sargeant. In a home Grand Prix, the Miami Grand Prix, the Stars and Stripes, finishes P10 for Williams Mercedes. Very, very good job by Logan. He was in that bunch with George Russell and the Saubers and everybody else and did a good job. He was right there. So didn't make any mistakes from what I could see. Did a good job. And finally, courtesy of the Red Bull Media Hub, here are three photos of enormous interest, I think. As last year in Miami, they've come up with two incredible comparison shots between Max and Checo Perez. And here you can see, breaking into a tight left-hander, you can see the difference of positioning on the road between Max, who's already started his early turn-in, and Checo. He's way out on the outside, just getting ready to have a nice wide turn-in, feel the rear of the car, do what he does really well with traction. But there's Max doing what he does down the inside, breaking into that transition about which we often talk about. There is short corners personified. And I love this picture too of Adrian Newey and Piero Lardi Ferrari, the son of Enzo Ferrari, having a bit of a laugh on the grid before the sprint race. Anyway, that was the sprint race. Looking forward to qualifying for the Grand Prix and, of course, the race tomorrow. We'll be back with another video. See you then. Going to have to find different ways of saying this, but yet another brilliant qualifying session managed by Red Bull and Max Verstappen. Ferrari pushed him very hard with both cars. Charles Leclerc just ahead of Carlos Sainz, almost identical throughout the lap in terms of sectors, but Max just that shade quicker than both of them. Top speeds very, very comparable between Red Bull and Ferrari. So with no more ado, let's just have a look at how the top speeds in that final Q3 run compared. The track was slower now. The wind had got up a little bit. The ambient had dropped. And for many of the runners, it felt as if the track had gone away. But nonetheless, Max, Charles and Carlos Sainz and Sergio Perez all went quicker in Q3. Mercedes, meanwhile, opting to run medium tyres, as Lando Norris had done in Q2. Nico Hülkenberg again did a gigantic job to get his Haas Ferrari into Q3. It's becoming a habit now. Just fabulous driving from Nico and operation from the team as well under the new management of Ayo Komatsu. Really, really good. Anyway, quickest in a straight line. As we saw in the sprint race, that Haas Ferrari really quick in a straight line, but they've managed to get a reasonable amount of grip and balance out of the car. Kevin Magnussen didn't make it out of Q1, had a lot of traffic at the end of his lap, but Nico Hülkenberg, again, a lot of credit to him. He starts the race in P9. Sergio Perez was then the next quickest through the trap at 3:40. He's usually quicker than Max. Max probably running a little bit more front flap. Look at the two Ferraris, 3:38, 3:37. Max Verstappen, 3:37. Then the two McLarens, 3:36, 3:35. And then the two Mercedes, 3:35, 3:34. So you can get a picture there. You may think there's not much difference, but if you look at that 3:34 to Sergio Perez, 3:40, again, as I said in the video on Friday, it does give an idea of how big the top speed difference is between Mercedes and Red Bull. But I've got to give Mercedes credit for finding a little bit more top speed than they had in the sprint race. They were allowed to make adjustments going into qualifying for the Grand Prix. So they've done a reasonably good job with the setup there. But running mediums in Q3, a bit ironic given how George Russell was saying yesterday, how the car wasn't very good on mediums, and it's a shame they didn't get through to Q3 to run the soft tyres in qualifying for the sprint race. Anyway, as I pointed out in the previous video, they were actually pretty good on mediums in terms of the laps they put together on the Friday. So no real surprise to see them opting for those. just to try something different. Didn't pay off for them really, so putting Max to one side, Ferrari have still done the best job of closing the gap to Red Bull, followed by McLaren, followed then by Mercedes. A terrible qualifying session for Aston Martin. Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll not making it out of Q2. Not much slower than the McLarens in a straight line. Comparable engine, of course, both running Mercedes. A little bit quicker than the factory cars in a straight line, but obviously lost a lot of grip and balance on the Aston Martin. Very strange. They looked pretty strong on Friday in that one untimed session. Fernando, as we said at the time, opting to do those long runs. But when it came down to performance laps, when the pressure was on and the track conditions changed slightly, Aston Martin right out of it. First time we've seen them really this far off the pace this year. And we'll never know whether or not this is significant, and I'm sure Aston Martin themselves don't know if it's significant, but remember that the performance runs on Friday, the setup runs for qualifying, were done by Lance Stroll and not by Fernando. Daniel Ricciardo wondering what a difference to a couple of hours make. 1 minute he's the star of the sprint race, finishing fourth. The next he doesn't get out of Q1, saying the back end of the car has got away. Yuki Tsunoda on this occasion did a good job to get into Q3 in the other Cash App car. So if it's not Daniel, it is the other. So good performance from Yuki again, looking to be kind of back where he was before the Chinese Grand Prix. Interesting to compare the sectors at the end of qualifying. Sergio Perez quickest in sectors 2 and 3. He's very quick in a straight line. Sector 2, that says a lot for the way he's been driving that RB20 today. Max quickest in sector 1, which includes, of course, those very, very fast S's. And when you watch him for the first time, it looks rather ungainly, even for Max. It looks like there's a change of direction that's never natural. And yet you see him doing exactly the same thing 2 or 3 laps in a row, and you realize that he's got that change of direction absolutely perfect in terms of the squarest possible millisecond he can find in which to bring in the opposite load. Everybody else, you can just see they're leaning a little bit more on the tires, but not Max. He's got that absolutely perfect, and no surprise to see that he was quickest through sector one. One of the most demanding bits of road, really. It's right up there with Silverstone Beckett's almost. Really impressive through there. The two Ferraris equally very closely matched over the lap. The difference was Charles Leclerc just a little bit quicker than Carlos Sainz through Sector 1. So all credit to Charles. Sector 1's been his nemesis over the last 12 months. And then, of course, he did have that spin yesterday at Turn 16. Not Sector 1, but nonetheless enough to unsettle him a little bit. But he was really, really good. No mistakes at all through Sector 1. And very, very impressive all day. Just had the edge over Carlos. That's where he got his P2 compared with Carlos's P3. And almost there in Max Verstappen territory. Occasionally people say, how can you put Charles Leclerc up there with Max Verstappen? Well, I think we saw that today through Sector 1 in Miami. Two interesting radio messages, I thought, during qualifying. One was from Fernando when he was on the brink of not getting out of Q1, and he was on the radio wondering where Lance Stroll was on the track because he didn't want to disturb Lance's lap, as Fernando doing a very good job for the son of the boss. And the other one, you don't often hear messages like this, was to Lando. And it said, Lando, we've been trying to work out how to say this. This track rewards good exit and good change of direction. A weird thing to be saying to a driver of Lando's caliber, quality, in the middle of qualifying for the Grand Prix, the sort of thing you would imagine they would have been talking about during the track walk on Thursday. And it's the sort of thing, anyway, you would imagine that Lando, like all the other drivers on the grid, would know going into Miami, even before they've got to the track, just driving the simulator. You would have thought, a really odd thing. All you can imagine is that he was losing time on exit of corners and change of direction, I guess, to Oscar Piastri. And if it's on exit to corners, this is Oscar, really, for the first time this year, starting to drive. And we saw it in the sprint race when you could see him in comparison with Carlos Sainz when he was behind Sainz. You could see that he was getting into the corners earlier. He was trying to use his short corners and working on that and doing a very good job. He couldn't get past Sainz for different reasons, top speed and everything else. But that shows that Oscar, I think, is right there. And he knows what he's doing in terms of economizing the lap, and he's got the touch to get away with it. And presumably, and normally it would be the case, that if you're getting into the corner early and you're getting the transition right, you are going to have a slightly quicker exit speed because you're extending the straight out of the corner as well. That's the whole point of a short corner. And maybe it's showing up for the first time this year against Lando. So saying to Lando, oh, try and do more about your exit speed, isn't going to help, really, because it's not just about getting on the power sooner for your Lando. It's about how you get into the corner in the first place. So I was really intrigued by that. And I think it shows a little bit the state of the art of race engineering, reading of telemetry versus what the driver thinks about the lap versus the feel of the driver and his understanding or not of whether he wants to get into the corner early like Max and economize the lap as Max does compared with Sergio Perez, as we said in those comparison pictures in the previous video. Anyway, I thought that was a really interesting thing to come out in the middle of Q3 to start talking about how important corner exits were, as if Lando wouldn't know that. Completely bizarre. Anyway, qualifying, a lot of fun, a lot going on, a lot of atmosphere at Miami. The circuit, the race, the whole thing looks to be humming this year for the first time, I think, and looks great. So looking forward to the Grand Prix proper tomorrow. It's been a busy day. It's been a busy 2 days. We'll do one more video, which will be tomorrow night, of course. In the meantime, a big thanks to Jetcraft, to Pitbox, to OEM Exclusive, our partners. Take care. See you tomorrow. I can say it. We can all say it. Lando Norris has won his first Grand Prix. I say it that way because he's going to win many more. I've been saying he's going to win races, absolutely for sure, probably this year. So pleased for him. Congratulations to Lando. This will have a big impact on the Formula One season, not in terms of Max Verstappen still being the driver, obviously most likely to win the championship, but in the way people look at Formula One. It's going to completely reinvent the championship, I think. Lando, within his generation, has done a brilliant job over the last couple of years. He's got an enormous platform, an enormous footprint around the world, and now he's won not only a Grand Prix, but he's won the Miami Grand Prix. If there's a Grand Prix you're going to choose for Lando Norris's first win, you'd say, yeah, Miami. It's pretty cool, isn't it? The United States. Wow, what a result for him. What a result for McLaren too, because Oscar Piastri, incredibly strong in the early phase of the race, passing Charles Leclerc, looking as if he might put a bit of pressure on Max Verstappen, looking as if he might actually, somehow or other, maybe win his first Grand Prix in Miami. But it didn't work out for him. He had a contretemps with Carlos Sainz. He got some wing damage, had to come in for another set of tyres. He did set fastest lap, however, so there's some consolation there. So what a day for McLaren Mercedes. The Mercedes customer team, got to say that. Don't know how Mercedes factory team will be feeling after another fairly unremarkable race for them. Anyway, let's try and put Lando's win into some sort of shape. For me, one of the most significant elements of Lando's weekend was how well he qualified yesterday, how well he recovered from what was a disastrous sprint qualifying and then, of course, the race. He didn't qualify well for the sprint qualifying. They didn't get it together in Q3. And then in the first corner of the sprint, I think he could have left a bit more room. I think he could have gone a little bit wider. Maybe he was a bit worried about everything after what had happened in China in turn one. I don't know. But he caught Lance Stroll and that was it. And he was out. So that was a difficult thing. But then he dug deep. He dug really deep. And he qualified fifth just ahead of Oscar, his teammate. And that was no easy thing because Piastri's been right on it all weekend. And it was a difficult qualifying anyway with the track conditions changing quite dramatically as they went into Q3. So Lando qualified fifth. He'd be very happy with that. Very, very good for his confidence. And that meant he was starting on the clean side of the grid as well. And he made a good start. Sergio Perez, I guess from Lando's point of view, thank you very much, Sergio, went into turn one too quickly on obviously medium tyres that weren't fully up to temperature. That helped Oscar Piastri probably more than it helped Lando. But that was a good start to the race from McLaren's point of view because both drivers felt they had grip and balance. And it was only a couple of laps. I had to look once or twice at the top speeds. I couldn't believe how quick they were in a straight line. Oscar and Lando were doing 317, 318 in a straight line, without DRS, of course. At the front of the race, Max Verstappen, who made a clean start and was now leading Charles Leclerc. And at that point, you thought, wow, it's going to be another Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc race. Max just sort of taking his time. And then when everybody else has tire deg, he'll just start to pull away. That's what it looked like in the first few laps. Max was only doing 309. I mean, that is a big difference in a straight line, bearing in mind how quick the Red Bull normally is in a straight line. So then we cross-checked to Sergio Perez, and he was doing 317 when he wasn't in DRS. So it looks as if Max, going into qualifying for the Grand Prix, the philosophy, I'm only guessing here, but I'm guessing the philosophy at Red Bull was more than likely we're going to be at the front of the race, more than likely, hopefully, we'll be on the pole. On this occasion, we need to give Max a bit more wing because he needs to be able to manage the tires well. It could be that sort of race. The car hasn't felt very good all weekend, so we'll give him a bit more wing. Perez is probably not going to be as near the front. We're going to need to give him less wing because he's going to need to be able to do a bit more overtaking. And I think it was that. I think they just probably put too much wing on Max's car. Well, too much wing. The point is that with the wing they had, it didn't actually give Max the race car that he's normally used to having. But we'll get onto that in a minute. Let's just talk about Lando because I think it's important just for this video to reflect the quality of the work that Lando Norris did today. For me, his race started to come alive around lap 20. He set fastest lap on lap 21, actually, and that was a sign that there was no tire dig that was going to happen on a McLaren before anyone else. The tires are in great shape. And Lando was there setting fastest lap. On that same lap, Max did about the same lap time. He was a couple of a hundredths slower, but he was a lot slower, as I say, in a straight line. So he's having to work harder, if you like, to do that lap. Anyway, the next lap, after Lando had set fastest lap, and he's running P4 at this point, Max made a very uncharacteristic error. As he went through a slow chicane, he ran out of road and then basically straight lined the chicane and hit a cone, which came an upright, a vertical upright, plastic upright that came up over the car and landed in the center of the track. Oscar Piastri, obviously next in line behind Max, said there's something on the track. For sure, they're going to have to put out a virtual safety car. And that's indeed what happened. Virtual safety car conditions came into play. And Max came in straight away for his set of hard tires. It was always going to be a one-stop strategy. Start on the medium, finish on the hard, or vice versa. A couple of others did the opposite. Fernando Alonso being a good example. Lewis Hamilton, another. And I'm wondering about that pit stop because a couple of laps before, they'd said to Max on the radio, "You don't have to worry so much about management now, time management, Max. You can start to go for it." And he had started to go for it. And that's why he was, when Lando set the fastest lap, Max was right there. Just about the same lap time. He was going well. It looked like Max had done a lot of tire management and conservation in the first 10 laps of the race, say 15 laps, and now he was starting to go. And all of a sudden, this happened, and it was like self-induced. Yep, okay, virtual safety car, come in, do the tire change. And I guess at that point, Red Bull thought it was going to be a longer virtual safety car, and a lot of others were going to come in as well. But it was short-lived. Although it was long enough for Max to come in and Charles Leclerc immediately to follow Max in for his set of hard tires as well. And that gave the lead to Oscar Piastri, ahead of Carlos Sainz by about 2.8 seconds, and then about 2.3 seconds ahead of Lando Norris. And Lando could see Oscar leading the Grand Prix. That probably was inspiration as well, I imagine. And then behind Lando, Max, having rejoined, was now about 10.5 seconds behind in fourth place. And he in turn was about 3 seconds ahead of Charles Leclerc. Oscar was driving beautifully, looking like a guy completely in charge of the race, calm. When he was driving with Charles Leclerc, racing with Charles Leclerc, it was quite interesting because I've been saying quite a lot about how Oscar's been getting into the corners nice and early and really starting to work on that part of his style. And he gets these short corners pretty well now. But actually, when he was with Leclerc, it was quite interesting to see that Leclerc was actually even earlier into the corners than Oscar in most situations. Some of that may have been Oscar just, I want to use all the road here. I don't want to make any mistakes. I just want to make sure I do everything calmly and smoothly. But it was interesting that Leclerc still looked very, very good, very sharp, even though the grip level on the Ferrari wasn't great. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point about the style. So now we're left with a situation where Max Verstappen has made his pit stop, and he's basically, if you look at him in relation to Lando Norris, he's basically about 10 seconds now behind Lando Norris on the road. He's on, albeit on a new set of hard tires, and Lando's still on his medium tires. Max, quite clearly, is going to be, of course, ahead of Lando when Lando does make his pit stop. And the interesting thing then is that Max doesn't fly. Indeed, Lando Norris sets another fastest lap on his now very old medium tires. And you think, wow, has Max got a problem now? Maybe he had some floor damage or something when he went over the chicane with a big bump on the chicane like that. We'll never know. I mean, not even Red Bull, I think, would know that at this point when I'm doing this video. Maybe there was some floor damage. Maybe. But anyway, we're now approaching the critical point of the race, the critical moment of the race, which is lap 28, when Oscar Piastri and Carlos Sainz come in for their new sets of hard tires, handing the lead, therefore, to Lando Norris, who, as I say, is about 10 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen. Following lap, lap 29, Kevin Magnussen again gets involved in another incident, this time with Logan Sargeant going into the quick corners after turn one. In the end, he got the penalty, but there was room there where he was. To me, it was almost a racing accident. I don't think Logan had any idea that Kevin had put his car inside his, but because Logan was on the outside, inevitably they gave the they gave him the benefit of the doubt, and it was Kevin that got the penalty. Anyway, that resulted in damage to the cars. That resulted in a safety car deployment. So now you thought, wow, this is going to be very good for Lando Norris. But we didn't know how good it was going to be for Lando Norris until we saw the safety car coming around, leading Max Verstappen, in other words, holding the entire field up at whatever speed they do, 100 kilometers an hour or a little bit more. And Lando Norris is in front, pulling out a massive lead, like 10 seconds or more, enough now to get him out in front of Max at the restart. That wouldn't have happened, of course, had the safety car been in front of Lando. So that was that luck or not? I don't know. This whole safety car thing in Formula One, I don't know what the Americans make of it. And I'm not in any way saying there was something untoward there or any rule was broken. This was nothing like Abu Dhabi 21. But it was kind of weird to see that happen, to see the whole field being held up while Lando can just drive into the pits and get his pit stop done and pull out in the lead like that. So that was a momentous thing. But even at that moment, at the restart, you thought, yeah, now Max is still going to do him, isn't he? I mean, I'm sure Lando thought that. Just before the pit stop, indeed, Lando had said, the car feels great, let's get on with it, we can beat the Ferraris. That's all he was thinking about, I think. And then he found himself in the lead of the Grand Prix after that incident with the safety car. And furthermore, his new hard tyres have got the march on everybody because Max is a 6 laps old. And Charles Leclerc, 7 laps old at this point, at the restart. So everything looking incredibly good for Lando Norris. And I don't know what Oscar Piastri was thinking at this time. He was probably thinking, you know, typical, oh, my day will come, or whatever. But he was very fiery after that and had a big dice with Carlos Sainz. And it eventually ended up with a wing damage to Sainz. And I suspect probably Carlos is going to get some sort of penalty for that. And as a result of that, Oscar had to come into the pits and change the nose. Big shame for him. But anyway, let's get back to the front, because Lando Norris makes a pretty good start at the restart. But Max is right on him going into one and through the S's. You think, wow, this is going to be really good. But then they get to the straight and Lando just goes boom like that and disappears in a straight line. I don't know what Max was thinking at that point. He's probably thinking, we've probably got too much wing on the car. And Lando then just pulled away. He pulled away. For the first 10 laps after the restart, it was like a tenth, 2/10 a lap. And then towards the end, it was sometimes 3 or 4 tenths. And most of it was in sector one. Now, I was going on and on and on yesterday about how good Max was through those S's in sector one. And he still looked pretty good there today in the race, I thought. Where Max was unbelievably slow was the next left-hander, which that long left-hander where you break into it and it's increasing radius and then there's a long straight. And he was unbelievably slow there. And he got on the radio saying, I can't do anything with the front end. So again, I don't know whether there was floor damage, but he was, as a result of being so slow through that left-hander, turn 7, I think it is, then that is why he was unbelievably slow in a straight line. He was consistently 7-8 kilometers an hour slower than Sergio Perez on the straight today. And in sector one, towards the end of the race, sometimes Lando was pulling out half a second alone in sector one. Everywhere else, change of direction and the normal areas, the high speed braking, things like that, Max was really good, but he was just hopeless through that long left-hander. I can't believe I'm saying that. Max Verstappen in the Red Bull, hopeless through that long left-hander. But that's what happened. And all credit to Lando. There were no errors. There was no nervousness. And I'm sure from his point of view, towards the end of the race, when he would look in his mirror and there was no blue there, no dark blue flash or yellow, whatever you would see in a millisecond, there was nothing there because all of a sudden he was like a corner ahead of Max Verstappen. What a feeling that would have been for him. Managed the race perfectly and won it. Won it with ease. Won it with Max Verstappen Red Bull type ease, whereas Max had to work really, really hard to finish second and make sure that every lap he did was about the same as Charles Leclerc's and not much in it. And he just beat Charles, really. I mean, Charles was never in a position to pass him, but one more error from Max Verstappen and he wouldn't even have been second. I think from his point of view, he will say, well, he can't win them all. And P2 isn't bad in terms of the championship. But there's no doubt today that McLaren was a better car in terms of top speed and the drivability it gave Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, who was flying on new tyres at the end, set fastest lap. In terms of managing the tyres, balance, grip, and Lando just being able to flick the back end out, do what he does with these slightly long corners, graceful, made me think a little bit of that time at Po when he was in Euro F3 and he was unbelievably quick. And then I think a suspension, there was a wishbone broke or something because he'd clipped something very, very finely in the early laps of the race. And I remember chatting to him after that and he was absolutely soul destroyed. But he just loved that. He loved Po and he loved how the flow of the car that he got into it reminded me a little bit of talking to Gilles Villeneuve all those years ago about driving at Trois-Rivières in the Formula Atlantic car. And when I was watching Lando today through the tight bits, particularly at Miami, I was just thinking of that. You know, this is the Lando that was so fluid and is so fluid as a racing driver, and the way he drives and the way he positions the car, just wonderful in terms of the style of driver that he is. And yeah, he just looked great in the race car. So I'm very happy for him and pleased for Formula One in general, because I think a lot of people were getting quite ratty about Max winning everything and dominating the championship. We had quite a lot of comments on our YouTube channel, unusually really, saying how boring Formula One had become. I hope these videos aren't boring. But this will do a lot, I think, to change the way people think about it. Because, and yeah, Max Verstappen doesn't need to say it. The hardest thing when you're winning is to keep winning. Absolutely. And to know why you're quick is more difficult than knowing why you're slow. That's an old Ron Toranakism, and it's absolutely true. And here's a good example today. I'm sure Red Bull will be able to go back and they'll say, right, it was this, this, and this. Maybe it was the floor. Maybe they just ran too much wing. Maybe they didn't get the tire temperatures right, whatever it was. And they'll be working on that and building on that for races to come. But on this occasion, on this day, possibly because it was a sprint weekend and they didn't do enough, weren't able to do enough running early on Friday. Sorry, they weren't able to get enough information about the car in that 1 hour session. Maybe because of that, it didn't work out for them as well as it should have. And if you look back now to what happened on that Friday, Max was quickest, did that 28.5, but look at his top speed, 3.39. And if anything was going to be a sign of what we were going to see on Sunday, it was Oscar Piastri, who was second in untimed practice on Friday, 28.7, great performance lap, 3.36. At the time, I said, yeah, the Red Bull has the top speed advantage, but look at Lando Norris, 3.41. Did that escape my notice? I think it probably did. I think I mentioned it, but at the time, I probably thought maybe they were just playing around with wing or something, but that was a significantly fast trap speed for Lando Norris. Didn't get in the lap, so I guess it didn't get a lot of attention at the time. But if you think about, you know, the usual suspects of the Williams, that how quick they were in a straight line, there's Lando Norris, 3.41, Oscar Piastri, 3.36, but second quickest. And that's where it all started to happen for McLaren. Really, really good job looking back now and what they did on that Friday. Charles Leclerc finished third, probably quite impressed that he was that near Max's Red Bull, but pretty unimpressed that Ferrari were unable to do anything about McLaren Mercedes today. Carlos Sainz drove pretty well too, was pretty quick right up to his pit stop, didn't get the best in terms of the safety car, and then with that battle with Oscar Piastri, there was a moment prior to the wing breaking incident when Carlos felt that Oscar had driven him off the track, and there was quite a lot of stuff about that on the radio, and then there was information that no further action would be taken, which I'm sure Carlos wasn't that happy about. I'm sure he wasn't. And then afterwards, that's when we had the moment when Carlos came from behind, caught Oscar napping, if you like. Oscar came across and then they touched and the wing broke on the McLaren. So that was all a bit frenetic, I guess is the right word. Sergio Perez finished fifth in the other Red Bull. He made two pit stops. They brought him in for mediums when the safety car came out. And that was probably a good thing from his point of view because he wasn't really going anywhere on the hard tyre. So he finished fifth. A bit of a disappointing performance, but if nothing else, he underlined how slow Max was in a straight line because his top speed was, you know, as I say, 5 or 6 kilometres an hour quicker than Max is much more than we would normally see. Lewis Hamilton finished sixth on medium tyres at the end, seemed to be pretty buoyant in terms of his radio messages, felt that he was racing hard. I mean, he was driving with the crud a lot and having to do a lot of passes and repasses. And early in the race, Nico Hülkenberg and Lewis had quite a big get together. But ultimately, P6, George Russell P8, Lewis won't be too unhappy with that. Yuki Tsunoda did a very good job to finish seventh in the Visa Cash App special after a poor Chinese Grand Prix, a difficult Chinese Grand Prix. They got the car really good for Yuki and he did a great job, I think. Fernando Alonso eventually finished ninth. As I say, he started on the hard and switched to the medium just to do something different. Aston Martin, pretty unsatisfactory weekend for them. And Esteban Ocon did very well to finally get a point for Alpine, racing George Russell hard, racing Fernando hard as well in the closing stages of the race. So good to see Alpine getting a little bit of light at the end of their particular tunnel. But nothing, of course, remotely gets near the chat about Lando Norris now having won his first Grand Prix. Just superb. Congratulations again to him, to all at the McLaren team and the work you've done. I'm thinking particularly of my mate Piers Thin, who's running, I think he's running the factory, the company really, the whole thing. Son of Sheridan Thin, my colleague at Williams, all those years ago. Congratulations, Piers. A lot of this is on your shoulders as well, I think. So let me finish just by saying the words again, because they sound so good. The crypto.com Miami Grand Prix won by Lando Norris in the McLaren.